All right, did you find the book of Ruth? We're going to get into our Bible study for now. And we're in Ruth chapter 2. Tonight we're talking about soul-winning stories from the Bible. This one's not really a soul-winning story, but I've titled this Naomi the Discipler. Naomi the Discipler. We said a lot of bad things about Naomi last week. In chapter 1, she was a very, very backslidden woman, very bitter woman. She said that. That was her own words. So we'll say a bunch of nice things about her tonight, because I think I'm going to face her in heaven someday. Hey, I said nice things about you too, so not just bad things. But she was in a bad way last week. She left Bethlehem, Judah, and went to Moab. And she ended up staying there 10 years, lost her husband, lost her two son-in-laws to death, ended up with two daughter-in-laws who were basically heathen girls that had served and worshipped other gods. And then she hears that that God had visited Bethlehem, Judah, and we'll see the wonderful harvest they're having here in chapters 2 and 3, with bread, and every famine comes to pass, amen? Every storm runs out of rain, and so you just got to hold on sometimes. You can't just dart around when things start getting tough on you. You may have to go back and learn that lesson over again if you don't go through some hard things in your life. And so she's on her way back to Bethlehem, Judah, and the people hardly even recognized her. They said, "Is this Naomi?" Because bitterness and God had afflicted her. Why would God do that? Because he loves people whom the Lord loves. He chastens and scourges every son whom he receives, including women. And he straightens them out, and so she's coming back. She says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. I'm bitter, blah, blah, blah." And bitter people do bitter, terrible things, and bitter people say terrible things to people. And she really, really, really hurt a young lady who was seeking, named Orpah. Orpah was on her way to Israel. Orpah was on her way to Bethlehem, Judah. Orpah was probably on her way to salvation. But three times Naomi said, "Return, return, go back." And finally, after the third time, Orpah left and went back to Moab and to her false gods and false religion. What a thing to have on your account. Somebody who's trying to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and because, you know, they said, we said something, or I said something, or you said something, it turned them off. And they stopped seeking. They went back to their old life. But that happens. Boy, we got to be careful what we say to people, especially people who are seeking the Lord or heading in that direction. They don't need to hear some bad news or gossip or slander or blasphemy. The fourth time she says, "Return," it's to Ruth. She tries to get Ruth to go back. But Ruth finally goes around her and says, "No, I'm going to press on in my search for God." And she says, "I'm going to go to Israel, and your God's going to be my God." And Ruth would not be deterred. That is rare. That is rare that people actually go around the hypocrites, go around the bitter people, go around the blasphemers, go around the backslidden, and still find their way to God. Those types of people are usually stumbling blocks to them who are close to the kingdom. And so we got to be careful about what we say, about our attitude, our spirit, that we not be hypocrites that people stumble over who might be heading in the direction of the Lord. Well, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Imagine that. That's chapter 1, verse 22 I'm reading. And we come now and we see that a transformation has taken place in Naomi's heart and her spirit. She's beginning to see the goodness of God again back in the land of Israel and around Bethlehem. They're having a big barley harvest. Last time she left, there was a famine. But now God had visited the people with his goodness and with a harvest. And she's got Ruth. Ruth will not leave her. Ruth wants her and wants her God. And all of a sudden, Naomi becomes positive. And it's a wonderful story, and there's so many like them in the Bible about people who have great comebacks. I've taught a course on great comebacks. Brother Mike O'Mara in Sunday school has taught a course on great comebacks. There's so many stories in the Bible where somebody started out bad but finished strong. And Naomi is one of those who started out so bad, but she has a change in her heart, her attitude. She's transformed. And now she becomes like a disciple, not an intentional disciple or a mentor of Ruth, but she begins to give Ruth great encouragement and counsel for her to go forward and do the right thing, because she's coming out of Moab. She doesn't know the culture of Israel or the culture of Israel's God or Israel's religion and how things work. She's just a little young widow whose husband Mahlon died. Now she comes to a completely, she's what's called a stranger or an alien. And she's in a strange land. And I want you to notice in verse number 1, it says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." Now, Boaz is what many Bible students down through the years have called an Old Testament type of Jesus Christ, or an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ. And sometimes there are Old Testament pictures or types, and Boaz is a type of Christ. He's called the kinsman redeemer. The reason why he's called the kinsman redeemer is, first of all, he's a kinsman, which is a flesh and blood relative. And he is a redeemer. As we will see, he is a savior. And he is certainly going to save Ruth's life. So a kinsman is Jesus pictured as the Son of Man. A redeemer is Jesus pictured as the Son of God. Jesus was both the Son of Man and the Son of God. And so Jesus is our kinsman, all right? He's not ashamed, Hebrews 2, verse 11, to call us brethren. He's a kinsman. He's related to us. He was born in the human race through Mary, and he's called the Son of Man 85 times. So praise the Lord for that. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. What's the next two words? The man. Christ Jesus, the man, the mediator who sits at the right hand of the Father, sits there as the man, as the Son of Man, interceding for us. He is our kinsman. He is related to us as humans. But he's also our redeemer as the Son of God. He is the one who can save us. He is divine. He's the Son of God. And Boaz is a picture of that. And notice the good counsel. Now, first of all, Naomi is aware of Boaz. Boaz is a mighty man of wealth. There's another picture of Christ there. In verse number 2, we see her advice to Ruth. "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her," and here's Naomi's counsel, "go, my daughter." Go, my daughter. That's some good counsel right there. For somebody who's trying to go out and trying to work and trying to find grace, go. How many times does it say in the Bible that grace is found? You'd be surprised. It's a great study to do sometime. Take the word grace and how many times it's found. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So Ruth's going out in search of grace. She's going out to work. And she's believing that she's going to find grace somewhere. Somebody's going to hire her. Or somebody's going to allow her to glean in her field somewhere. And Naomi says, go. Good thing Naomi didn't say stay. She could have. But Naomi said, go, my daughter. And so she went, verse 3, her obedience. And she came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And I think we always smile when we read these next few words. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, which was of the kindred, there's that kindred redeemer, of Elimelech, who was Naomi's husband who died. Her hap. That's what happens, doesn't it? You remember those times in your life where it just happened to have somebody, I don't know what, invite you to church, or somebody happened to give you a tract, or somebody happened to tell you about Christ? Or my dad happened one time to see a sign out in front of a church with big red letters in script writing on at the bottom that said, a Bible-believing church. My dad happened to see that because the last reverend told him the Bible was a book of fairy tales and fables and you don't have to believe it. He was so mad at that guy, he left the church. Then he sees a sign that says, a Bible-believing church. He said, whoa, that's what I believe. The Bible is the Word of God. And he took us there and we all got saved. We all got saved. I'm sure there's times in your life where something hap, H-A-P, it's a word. I think we get happenstance from that word. And so she ends up, she's out looking for grace, she's out looking for work, she's out looking for some food to eat, and she just haps to come to a part of a field belonging unto Boaz. Notice now in verses 4 through 7, Boaz notices Ruth working. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto the servant that was over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant said, that was set over the reapers, answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. And so Boaz takes notice of Ruth working. And, you know, that's a good way to get noticed. Every time Jesus was on earth, anytime, even in the Old Testament, anytime God called somebody in the Old Testament or called somebody in the New Testament, he always called working people. Did you ever notice that? They were always busy. And he took an interest in them. And I want to encourage you to be busy the best you can. He never chose a lazy person that we know of in all of the scriptures. But he takes note of Ruth because in her obedience to Naomi, she happens to be in the right place at the right time, and she is seen by the right person. Now notice what Boaz says after the workers introduce him to her and who she is. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, now these are his first words ever to this young lady. Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Notice his first words to her are of great care. Great care. And he says, don't go anywhere else. Stay right here. Stay among my family. Stay among my maidens. Glean in my fields. Work here. And he promises her provision from the field, And he promises her protection. He says, I have charged the young men that they shall not touch thee. And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels that the young men have drawn and brought out to the fields with them and drink all you want. Do you see types of Christ in this? If you're thinking this through, you're seeing types of Christ. Christ is saying, don't go out to the world. Don't go anywhere else. Don't search anywhere else. I'll take care of you. I can take care of you from now to the day you die. I can satisfy your hunger with bread. I can satisfy your thirst with water. And, you know, as a young lady, you will probably be treated better by men the rest of your life if you'll just stick with God's church and don't be found out in the bars and the clubs and out in the world. There's a lot better chance that the men of the church, the men that belong to Jesus Christ, the men that work for Jesus Christ, will try to provide you with an atmosphere where you'll be safe and be provided for, and your soul will be well provided for, and hopefully the young men won't touch you. Isn't that good? And just respect you and treat all the younger women with all purity, as it tells us in the book of 1 Timothy, I think it is. And so he takes care of her, and these are his first words. He says, look, I'll just take care of you. Just stay here. Now notice her response in verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Have you ever felt that way towards the Lord? I hope so. I hope none of us is so proud that we could say, well, I know why God chose me. That's easy to figure out. No, I hope we're humble like Ruth. What a testimony. She worships the Lord. We ought to worship the Lord that Jesus would take notice of us, that Jesus would provide us with bread and drink and safety and provision as long as we stay with his people. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, why have I found grace in thine eyes? That ought to be a question we should ask all of our life. Why in the world did I ever find grace? And most people around me are as lost as can be. Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me? See her humility there. See, I'm a stranger. I'm an alien. I'm a Moabite. Why would you even look towards me, care about me? Well, that's just the way God is. And Boaz is a picture of our Lord. And Jesus, you don't care what tribe you're from or nation or if you're a stranger or an alien. And Boaz answered and said unto her in verse 11, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. And now thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know, the Bible says if we give up our father, our mother, our lands, and everything else for Jesus' sake, he would bless us. And this is what Ruth did. She gave up everything. She left her father and mother over there in Moab and left her homeland and everything. And she wanted to be on God's side and Israel's side. And you and I, if we will just crucify ourselves, give ourselves to the Lord and for the gospel's sake, the Lord said, boy, you'll end up with fathers and mothers and brethren and sisters and lands and eternal life. And I will recompense you 100-fold. Notice the Lord recompenses people according to their works. Now, that's not salvation. That's rewards. Salvation is a gift. It's a gift of his grace. She's already encountered the grace of Boaz. And I hope you've encountered the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, received him as your Savior. But after you're saved, we are to go to work. And we are to put the Lord first before our father and mother. And serve the Lord and be faithful. And she says, boy, you've sure taken care. I've noticed how you've taken care of Naomi. And I notice how you followed the Lord and you've come to a land. You don't even know anything about this land or the culture, but you did it because God is here. And verse 12 says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know, God is the same way with us. In Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Oh, don't be distracted by anybody. Don't be distracted by anybody. Boy, there's been times where I've seen entire families leave the work of the Lord because one person got offended about something that was said in church or some decision. They take the whole family with them. Man, if you're going to leave, leave by yourself. Leave your family back. Let them serve the Lord. Let them go on with God. This thing about rewards is an individual thing. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 8 says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So, you know, I mean, even if the churches are no good in this day and age, well, you just keep laboring and you'll receive a reward for your own labor. What Jesus said. I read it twice. Let me give you a third verse. Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. There's three times. The Bible says the Lord's going to reward you according to your individual works, no matter what the person sitting next to you does or doesn't do. So let them cop a bad attitude or whatever. And you just keep working for the Lord. And just like Ruth, the Lord will recompense thy work, and a full reward will be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And we're not getting far here, are we? Now notice the compliments of Boaz by Ruth in verse 13. We ought to compliment the Lord. You know that? Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. In other words, I'm a foreigner. I'm not like your other handmaids who are all Jewish girls. I'm a Moabite girl, but you have comforted me, and you have spoken friendly to me. That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? The Lord comforts us. No matter what else anyone thinks about us, the Lord comforts us. And wouldn't you say also the Lord speaks friendly unto us? The Lord speaks friendly unto us. He said, I'm not going to call you servants. You know, servants don't know what their masters do. And he says, I'm going to call you friends. That's what Jesus said. You're my friends. You're my friends. Now, by the way, there's some good chivalry here for us men. We ought to try to comfort ladies, and we ought to speak friendly to them. We ought to be nice. Do that at home. Do it in your marriage. Do it to your daughters, and do it to the ladies in church and everything. Be nice to ladies. God is nice to ladies. Boaz was nice to Ruth, and Ruth recognized, you know, you've comforted me ever since I got here. That has to be a tough thing to go to a different nation and live. You have comforted me since I've gotten here. You've always spoken friendly to me. Anytime you've talked to me, you've been very gracious with your words. And so she compliments Boaz. And now notice God's great, verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar, And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And so Boaz's kindness and provision continues to take care of this strange girl. Verses 15 through 17, we see more of blessings on her. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." In other words, where most of the grain is. Don't let her just pick up the gleanings. "And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Here we see physical manifestations of God's blessing on Ruth. Have you ever seen physical manifestations of God's blessing on your life? Handfuls on purpose, where God just kind of gave you something like, "Boy, I never even asked for this. I never even prayed for this, but God just blessed me. And guess what God did for me," or something. That's how God is. That's how God is. Well, I just got to wrap this up kind of with conclusions. But in verses 18 through 23, Ruth and Naomi have a conversation about how great Boaz has been to Ruth, and how Ruth and Boaz were laborers together. And so Naomi, the discipler here, encourages Ruth to live a separated life from the world and to just put her whole lot in among Boaz and in his field. Don't go anywhere else if you read the whole thing. She's basically telling her, just be separated unto this man. He's going to take care of you. He's good enough. You don't have to go anywhere else searching, and live a separated life unto him. Well, we're called to live a separated life unto Christ. In fact, I think the wording is in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And the next verse says, "And you shall be sons and daughters unto me." And that is precious. Man, I hope you're a separated Christian. Don't get worldly. Don't leave. Now, chapter 3 is all about Naomi's instruction. She's the discipler to Ruth, and her, and basically Naomi's saying, "We got to try to set up a marriage here." And Ruth follows Naomi's instructions to the T, and Boaz and Ruth become close and intimate with each other, although abstaining. And it's kind of a romantic story in chapter 3 that theologians have for 2,000 years questioned whether anyone should ever practice this again. But Naomi, Ruth, was of the highest morals. Verse 10 of chapter 3 says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." What a testimony she was, and what a testimony Boaz was. And so in a rare case where God could trust them, he put them together. And then in chapter number 4 comes their marriage. And then towards the end of the chapter, they have their first child, whose name is Obed. And Naomi jumps in there, man. She's having a good time now as a grandma. And so Ruth had listened to Naomi's advice since she got to the promised land. And Naomi's advice, whether she was a discipler intentionally or not, was just simply this: just stay as close to Boaz as you can. That is good advice for somebody just coming out of the world, tasting of the grace of God, being in the promised land, Boaz being a picture of Christ. That's the best advice we can give in trying to disciple somebody. Look, just stay as close to to Christ as you can. Stay separated from the world. Go to work with Boaz or Christ. Be laborers together with God. Stay in his field. God will provide for you. God will give you pleasure. God will take care of all your needs. You don't have to look anywhere else. And Ruth, for some reason, followed Naomi's advice to the T, and it worked out perfectly. And they end up being married, Boaz and Ruth. They have a son named Obed. And as you know from the genealogy, Obed gets married later. He has a son named Jesse. Jesse gets married. He has a son named David. And so Ruth is actually the great-grandmother of David, this probably scared, frightened little foreigner who came out and got some good advice from Naomi and stuck with it, and everything worked out. So I hope in this sense we can see a good side of Naomi tonight, and how useful a person can be who returns from a backslidden, bitter life to yield themselves to God and then to help others where they can. And some of you and I, that's been our testimony. We became backsliders for a season and bitter, but we returned to the Lord, and the Lord has seen fit to use us in some capacity to help some other people. So keep it up. When you see new people come to Christ, just do what Naomi did. Just keep pointing them to Boaz, to Christ, and just say, stay close to Christ. Don't leave. Be faithful. Work with Christ. He's got a work for you to do. Be laborers together with God, and he'll provide for your hunger and your thirst and your pleasure and your everything else. And it's really quite a story, which we condensed to half an hour, which is not possible. But I hope that you can study that. Boy, I was reading Matthew Henry's notes about it. They're just tremendous. From way back in the 1600s and early 1700s when he wrote his Bible commentary, and just the insights into this beautiful picture of types. All right, let us close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Naomi making quite a comeback and really steering a young lady to Boaz to do the right thing. Lord, how we thank you so much for Ruth being obedient to what she was taught, everything Naomi said, and we didn't look at them all, but she obeyed, and it worked out because she stayed close to Boaz. She stayed close to Boaz's maidens and Boaz's young men. And Lord, I pray for the young people that are here today. Jesus' maidens and Jesus' young men are in the church. Help them to stay close. We're not perfect. I pray our young people would not go off into the world or go back to Moab or anything, but they would work with you from their youth and see how much they can accomplish together in their life. Thank you for the way this story turns out. And Lord, we pray that we'd have this wisdom, that every new convert, we just try to simply give them the advice, stay close to Christ. Stay close to Christ and work with him. Now dismiss us, Lord, as we leave tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing Little as Much, a verse of that. We'll find that, and then you can be dismissed. Take your blue hymn books and Little is Much When God Is In It. 846. 846. When you find it, let's stand together. 846. Little as much when God is in it. When God's there, amen. 846. In the harvest field now ripen, there's a work for all to do. The voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a cup and you can win it if you'll go. And the last, when the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. I failed to mention one other thing. Gwen Russell's having a memorial service for her son, Alan, at her house in North Collins, Saturday at 6. Some of you may know her. If you want to go, I'll be doing a little service. Might be an encouragement. She lost her husband last year and a son this year. You're dismissed. Lord bless you.